Get ready for an uplifting experience with Coached Soul. Join us as we bring you the dynamic duo of Steve Hudgens, a licensed professional counselor, and Kenya Evelyn, a transformational leadership coach. Together, they'll guide you through engaging episodes filled with valuable insights and actionable tips on mental health, relationships, self-care, emotional well-being, and personal growth. Coached Soul is your go-to podcast for empowering discussions that will help you thrive. So let's get started and welcome our hosts, Steve and Kenya.
All right, welcome back to Coach Soul. And Kenya, I mean, it is March.
Oh my goodness, I love the smell of rain.
I like the green grass starting to pop up. I see the flowers trying to pop up from the grass. I mean, March is green and, you know, everybody has their history month. So I love St. Paddy's because my background is Choctaw, Irish, and in the UK, Heinz 49 substance there.
Oh, how fun. I never knew that.
So, yeah, that's my background. And so I love Irish. I love St. Paddy's Day. I have only found one four-leaf clover in my life.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Wow. I didn't think they would exist, but they do exist, just like rabbits.
That's awesome. Well, for me, March is like the cusp of blooming.
Yes.
Everything blooming. And it feels so fresh. Like I can project myself outside and just smell the wet grass and just life being renewed.
You know, Mother Nature has that fascinating factor about her. And I tease Mother Nature that she needs a mood stabilizer every once in a while because the weather goes wacky. But it's that transition in life that she does. And I think that would be a great segue into our topic today of transitioning. What makes it so hard for us to resist change, or we just avoid change? What are your thoughts on being able to transition in our life?
Okay, so I love this question because the truth is I have never met a human that loves change. None. The only little humans that not just love, but demands change is a baby with a dirty diaper. Seriously. Because all that means is that everything that you have known as familiar and your nervous system and your cells and your habits and your routine and your people is used to it, now suddenly it isn't. And every part of your body, every layer of your body, your physical body, your energy body, everything gets to be rearranged again. And it's scary. It's just, if you're listening to this and you're going through a transition in life, whether you call it in the transition or not, just know that it's okay to feel a little bit off, like instability, not knowing where to step and if things are okay. What I want to suggest to our listeners here is that you have control over how you want to transition. How do you want to feel? You have control if that, let me just finish the sentence. You have control over if this that you're feeling in your tummy is fear or excitement.
You know, I was going to say that some changes are good. Like I look for that. I know people hate time changes, but for me, I enjoy spring forward. Yes, I may lose an hour of sleep, but in change, if we can be able, there are some changes we have no control or management over. It just happens, right? But when time change comes, I am always proactive in that change, because what I do the week before is I slowly graduate my body into transition of the time. So I'll start eating 30 minutes earlier. I'll start. So it'd be like 10:30. So in my body, it's 11:30. For some reason, my body just sticks to a regime of eating and sleeping. And so if I go to bed at 9:30, it's really 10:30 for me. So that's how I begin the slow transition and change. And some changes are healthy and good for you.
Yes.
But if we can manage that change, for me, it's easier to shift into that time change.
Yeah, well, not everybody has your personality, Steve. You're a planner. You are incredible. I got your number. I feel you. And some of us, me included, we just go with the flow, right? So I don't really think about, ooh, sometimes the day that the times change, I don't even know. I was
Right.
like, oh, is that today? Oh, okay. I guess my cell phone just adjusts by itself. And it's all great. I do feel an itch to share with our listeners this. There is no growth without change. There is no growth without change. So even though our human doesn't quite like it, doesn't feel comfortable because change is uncomfortable and you get to embrace the discomfort or fight with the discomfort. You're correct. Not all changes are positive, right? Last week, we talked about a friend of mine that just passed just like that on a heart attack. I mean, people come and go out of our lives. We
Right.
move. My kid graduated from fifth grade to sixth grade, and he changed, from elementary to middle school. And he's just now, almost the end of the year. We're like March, school finishes on May. Just now, he's accepting that life goes on. Like he was still fighting internally because he missed his friends. He missed the teacher. He missed, I mean, if that's not a mirror, I don't know what it is. And yet, there's a fine line between noticing that life will go on, your legs will grow. Like children's a great example.
So I want to integrate something here that I think that we can, rabbit trail this maybe and give an illustration of
100%.
change because, sometimes we look at change as pain. Okay. And so, 2 years ago, I almost died from a septic shock of three different bacterias attacking me.
That's right.
And, I was just, what do you do in the hospital besides lay there and get well, so to speak? I don't know how you can do it because it's so noisy, that type of thing. And where I'm going with this is two things. Is that I remember, Psalms 23 says that I walk through the valley of shadow and death. That valley is only as long as you make it in your mind.
There we go.
Okay, so that's the stepping off stone because we want to avoid it because of pain. And so as people on the outside that watches us transition in life, sometimes want to enable. So for example, Kenya, role play with me here. If
Yes.
I have a caterpillar that's coming out of its cocoon, it's changed into a butterfly, and you start to see it struggling. And I hand you the cocoon with a pair of scissors, and I say that butterfly has a 50-50 chance of survival. Its life is in your hands. What would you do with that pair of scissors? Would you cut it open or just let it watch it die?
I would never cut it open.
Right, but a lot of people. In therapy, I've tried to do this with the parents that I counsel, family counseling, would say I would want it, I don't like it struggling. So I would cut it open to help
Yes.
it out because it's struggling. And like you said earlier, change is also growth.
100%.
And if we are enabling people and not allowing them to experience that change, we're really disabling them. Hear me
Well,
again. Because as that butterfly is coming out of the cocoon, scientists have revealed that it is a struggle that they must go through so that the endorphins can strengthen its wings to fly.
Yes,
How is that any different than a human being?
it is not. And in leadership, we say that there is only growth outside of your comfort zone. So if your life is too comfy and all the routines are check, 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 and you're almost robotic on it, are you growing? So the other way to ask this question is, how may I stretch myself on a daily basis into embracing more of me, embrace more of possibility. Maybe you're not a reader because somebody told you you're not a reader. And now you are 53 and you still say, I'm not a reader. Well, I'll double, triple dog dare you that if you read one page a day, by the end of 30 days, you become a reader. You do too.
Right.
So who really has control over those messages, which I call codes? Childhood codes. I'm telling you, what I'm telling you right now is what I heard from my mom my entire childhood. And I love my mom, but she didn't know what she was doing because my sister's a doctor, which means she's an avid reader. Those right. thick books. And I wasn't. I was an artist, a painter, a dancer, a twirling, you know, fluffy, whatever you want to call, not a reader. Everything but sitting and do the thing, you know? And I wrote 5 books now. So how is that? How did it happen? It happened when I decided that I had something to say and I was ready to change my identity to not a reader, to not academic, to highly academic, because I said so. And what the freak even is academic? And what is to be smart or not be smart? What is to be, who gets to decide? Listeners, who get to decide who you are is not who you've been. And that will require you changing.
You know, a lot of times it seems like we just get stuck with a label that's been assigned to us.
There we go.
And we just get into that, well, they said it, so it must be true. And it's having to reinvent yourself, so to speak, or pushing yourself. One of the things that I have with parents is that, well, he stays on the computer so much, and he doesn't want to do his transition from the computer into his homework.
Yes.
And they say, well, it's too hard. Well, yes, it's difficult.
It is.
Because watching a video game or YouTube or whatever is mindless activity. We're not using our cognitive skills. And so it's like going to the gym. You're all fattened up with McNasties and all that McNasties, food junk.
I love
right?
that.
You know, we just get full of that junk food. And then when we go to the gym, it's hard to start doing that one step on that treadmill. Or the bike, 100%. Right? But the more that you do it, the better you become and the weight starts coming off. So it's you as the parent is how do you guide that child to have a balance to make that transition? Well, what are you going to get from that child? Pushback. So it's working with them and helping them to make that transitional change for them. So how is that different from enabling to challenging, Kenya?
I want to speak to that so much because you are talking to one of my kids right now. Actually, all three, but really one in particular. And parents, it is hard. And I'm not telling you that it's not going to be hard.
Right.
What I am telling you, you got to hold the vision of what you want to see in your household. Your kids do not get to dictate how you parent them. I'll say that again.
Please do.
When it's their time to be a parent, they can be a parent. And I've made this mistake so many times. This is why I know it's a mistake, because I want to honor their opinion. I want to honor the rhythm, if you will. And there's a fine line between honoring the rhythm and self-modulate with time of the computer, time to eat, time to this. Self-regulate, not modulate. Thank you. And some kids actually cannot do that on their own. So we think we're honoring them. And in reality, we are enabling them to feel bad about themselves. Because I'll tell you what, when my kid leaves the computer, his face is flat.
Mm.
There's no light. That means that the computer actually have their will. They need us to strengthen their self-will. It's not bad parent. It is love to actually close the computer, because I do that very often. Hey, your time is up. No, I'm in the middle of the round. No. You're always in the middle of the round. I said your time is up. Close the computer, take it away. You're going to hear puffing and huffing, whatever. And after 3 minutes, it will be okay. And if you keep doing that, keep your role, listen, parents, keep your role as parents. You are the parent, not your child. You get to guide yourself to really behave as I got this. Because if you behave in your frequency, I got this, now you're letting your kid boring. Oh, my mom got this. My parent got this. He got my back. And they've strengthened their self-confidence that they can also endure change. And after you do this 2, 3 times, you will feel more confident in your parenting. And you will feel that you're actually supporting your kid. You're not robbing them from talking to their friends. I mean, I know whatever parents come to tell me, I've heard it. But I was in the middle of talking to my
Right.
friends.
And one of the
I
things too that I think I've shared this in the past, and I'll share it again because podcasts are really good to be repetitive in to reinforce that information.
We cannot hear too many good things too many times.
So when I think about, oh my gosh, that kid is spoiled, I want to punish him, I'm going to discipline, I'm going to take away. And so as faith-based people, we hear the saying, if you spare the rod, you're going to spare, spoil that child. And to my interpretation of that, because when I read Psalms 23, the rod and the staff comforts, right? That rod doesn't necessarily mean a
Punishment.
spanking,
Yes.
punishment, discipline. That rod means if I don't provide the guidance for my child, if I do not help mentor them in what a balance is, I want to speak to my listeners on this because I've seen it a lot in the couples that I do therapy with. I've got individuals that I speak with that they feel so depressed. They're anxious. Oh, what are you doing? Well, sometimes they'll play on video games. Okay, what else do you do? Do you go out for a
They feel
walk?
powerless.
Yes, they feel
There's no
powerless.
power. There's no personal power.
And the hopelessness grows.
Yes.
And what I'm trying to explain to people is putting an oxygen mask on first from the airplane when those masks come down, meaning that it's easy to for someone to get into the thought, well, that's being selfish. It's not being selfish because if we don't recharge our battery on our cell phone, it will die.
No.
Same thing with the human spirit. If we don't take time to recharge it, it's not going to help us to make the changes that need to be necessary in the transition of our life.
So what I hear you saying, Steve, is as adults and parents, we get to recharge so that we can offer that to our children and to the world around us.
But it's more than that.
If I resist change, everyone around me will resist change.
Correct. So
It goes
we
together.
emulate. We
It goes
emulate. In
together.
other words, we are a mirror to our children.
In
It's
everything.
it's funny because here's where I'm going to go with this, because I remember when I first was starting out with therapy, I was doing behavioral case management. And I had this 6-year-old girl that would go to kindergarten, come home, and that's when I was doing in-home therapy sessions. And the father was there, mother's around the corner cooking in the kitchen, and dad's like, would you help her how to be respectful in the home? And I'm like, what are you talking about? So he puts his shoes on, goes to the front door. And he says, as soon as she walks in, she kicks the shoes off. So it goes flying through the air. And the very first thing that child says, but daddy, you do it too. Mama peeps around the corner and says, we're the adult, you're the child. And I'm like, no, we cannot do that. If you're expecting them to do something, please be mindful of your own behavior.
Well, there's so many things happening right now when you say
Yes.
that. Yes, it's us, the adults, but it's more than that, is the frequency of the home.
Right.
Because I'm telling you right now, I'm far from perfect. Even though I see myself as perfect and whole, because that's the message that I carry for me and all of us. And my daughter does not copy me. She copies the middle child. So the point is they're gonna copy.
Correct.
But being aware of it, I'll make a point to say, hey, copy me. Hey, copy, because I see that she's copying. She copies the mannerisms, she copies the way he eats, she copies the way, I'm telling you, she just adores him, and it's magnetic to her. And because I am aware, and I want to really invite every single one that is listening to me right now, whether you like it or not, you are a role model. Whether you see yourself as one or not, you are for those that love, admire you consciously or unconsciously.
So what
And
I'm
you
hearing is that not only are we managing the transitions, the changes in our life, as adults, we're also doing the same thing for our children.
100%.
Because you said, model me.
Model me.
Right.
So when I noticed that that's what she and when he's not around and the TV is on, the people on TV become her role models. Parents listen to me, that's just what is. They don't mean, like the kid, the 5, 6, 7, 8 year old don't mean to, oh, let me turn on the TV so I can get the vibes from them. But magnetically, subconsciously, that's how it shows up. I've seen in my kitchen more times than I would like to things like, where does this come from? Like, where did you learn this? That no. Delete.
It's interesting because in transition, it can become scary depending on the perception of how you look at transition. And growing up in the military with my father, serving 26 years, and I thank him for his service and the model ship that he presented for me, is the fact that we would travel. We went from New Mexico to Texas, where I grew for 12 years. And then we shift to South Dakota, and then we shift to Japan, and then we come to Oklahoma. I mean, it's a lot of transition in life as we're moving. But so is our life. We have so many intricate parts that move in our life. It's about managing those feelings and emotions, the frequencies, those type of things, and doing a shift. There's another transition, a shift of mindset.
And what I would like to point it out to our listeners is it doesn't matter where you are right now. Maybe you're in the same job for 30 years and you're perfectly happy. And maybe you are without a job. And there are things that you can embrace upon and create that change. And none of that is outside of you. So I'm not talking about transitioning jobs or retiring. A client of mine, she just retired. She's going through a tough time because she's like, Kenny, I'm so bored. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't have a vision for the next thing. And this is what I told her, and I want to offer the same truth. Whatever is the next season, it's not for you to think about. It's not for you to put energy into the next thing. It's for you to put energy now. In you being in contentment and in anticipation and tapping to the desire, maybe that is the word right there. When was the last time that you tap into the desire of, what would really make me happy? What would really oxygenate my soul looks like? And the vibrancy will take care of any depression, any anxiety, any. Maybe that word hasn't been in your vocabulary from the last time you spelled vibrancy. This is huge.
It is. And one of the things that I'm sitting here thinking about, because we got about 4 or 5 minutes left of the podcast, is when I think about what you're sharing, it's important to pick up where we are.
Yes.
When we get hungry, our tummy tells us. When we have to go to the bathroom, our body signals us. It's no different from paying to the attentions of how we're feeling. And it's
So
being
good.
able to be aware of, oh my gosh, I explain to kids, how do you know you're getting angry? Well, I start closing my fist. I said, yes. So instead of
I
counting
stop
to,
breathing. I stop breathing.
okay, right. But we use tactics of let's count. Well, for me, if I'm pissed off, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I'm still angry. But if we use a cognitive, get out of the fight flight mode and go to the cognitive side. If you're closing your fist, I did this I taught this in inpatient. Spell hello, HELLO. And for the listeners, I'm using my fingers and my hand and I'm opening it up as I spell hello. That's hard to do when you're angry to get into the cognitive side of things because we're in the back of the brain and not being able to think because it's a fight flight. The brain sends signals to get the oxygen out of your brain into the muscles, ready to fight. So pay attention because when transition happens, sometimes fear is okay. Sometimes those what I call spidey tingling web sensations is because there's something we need to be aware about.
I would like to add this one thing. I love the illustration of the fist because for those of us that are kinesthetic, you can tap into that. And for all of us that breathe, if you focus on your breath, you cannot be angry focusing on your breath and in your breath. And there's this really, I mean, there's tons of breathing techniques right there. One of the simplest one I want to share with the listeners right now is the military breathing that you're probably familiar with as a military person, which is 4-4-4-4. Think box, think square. So 4 breaths in, hold for 4, exhale for 4 through your mouth, and reset for 4. And start again. At any moment that you feel this fight or flight take over, which start with a thought, Steve, starts with a thought of fear, of anxiety, or oh my gosh, or I can't believe it, or it start when you catch the thought, start breathing, focus on your breath, and relax your body, and just know that change is here. Because we're humans, we will always experience. And if you're not experiencing change, you are not growing. Like muscle pains of growing pains. It happens not just in children, but every area that you choose to stretch yourself and expand and work on your relationship. You know what? I'm not going to give up my marriage. That would take change, not on him, on you, not on her, on you. Once you change, watch the world shifting.
And part of that science, because we're running out of time, I want to go back to because some people like that inner workings of how, reasons why, that type of thing. When we are breathing, it goes back to Thanksgiving. We get sleepy. It's not because of the tryptophan or the turkeys, because our body can't absorb everything in all at once. So the blood leaves the brain into your stomach to
To
digest.
digest.
That's right.
That's where
So
the energy needs to go.
we yawn because our brain needs the oxygen. You go to a doc and they put the oxpox on your finger to measure how much oxygen you're getting there. So the brain, the blood carries the oxygen. When we become angry, when we become anxious, a lot of times that body goes into the flight flight mode. And so it pushes the blood out of the brain into the muscles of the body to get ready to prepare for whatever we think we are doing. So what Kenya is expressing, is take a deeper breath. When you wake up in the morning, take that deep inhale in and just hold it for a few, let it out, being thankful for life that here we are. We just changed into a new day. And so
And
with
do it
that,
consciously.
yes.
Consciously.
And with that, we're going to leave you with a brighter day. Take that deep breath in. It's going to be all right. Until next time, have a great week.
We love you so much.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Coached Soul, where we aim to empower and uplift you on your journey towards personal growth and well-being. Remember, as you navigate through life, you don't have to do it alone. We encourage you to reach out to professionals, seek support from loved ones, and take the time to prioritize your own well-being. Stay tuned for future episodes filled with even more valuable insights and actionable tips. Remember, you have the power to thrive. And with Coach at Soul by your side, anything is possible. Until next time, take care, stay empowered, and keep shining your brightest light. For more information, contact Kenya at kenyacoachedsoul.com.